the spiritual condition of America, politics, culture, and current events, analyzed through the lens of Scripture. Welcome to the Alex McFarland Show.
One of the most significant names in Christendom is the name of a leader, an author, a speaker, a communicator who has been dead nearly 60 years. Who am I speaking of? I'm speaking of Clive Staples Lewis, C.S. Lewis. Now, no doubt everybody listening to this broadcast has heard C.S. Lewis. Maybe you're an aficionado and you've read many of his books, and maybe you are deeply invested in the work of C.S. Lewis, or maybe C.S. Lewis is just this peripheral name that you've heard mentioned, and maybe you think to yourself, he's important, I get it, I need to know who C.S. Lewis is. Well, we're going to talk about C.S. Lewis today, and really, we are so privileged to have with us on the program one of the preeminent voices in the world of C.S. Lewis, who has kept his presence alive and really brought to life C.S. Lewis to millions of viewers. His name is Max McLean, and he is the star of a brand new movie, The Most Reluctant Convert, which is the story of C.S. Lewis's coming to Christianity. But I want to welcome him to the program. We're so honored to have some time to converse with Max McLean and just learn wonderful things about the work he does. Sir, I want to say thank you very much. It is a great honor to have you on the Alex McFarland Show.
Well, thank you, Alex, very much.
A little bit of background. How did you come to be influenced by C.S. Lewis, and what led you to portray Lewis and to bring his legacy before new generations of viewers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm an adult convert to Christianity, converted in my 20s, after reading most of the New Testament, I was introduced to the writings of C.S. Lewis. I think I read all the New Testament, was beginning, read Psalms, Proverbs, and much of the rest of the Old Testament. And after that, I was introduced to C.S. Lewis. And the first book was that really grabbed my attention was the Screwtape Letters. Mm-hmm. The very first chapter, the very first letter, actually, where Screwtape is describing one of his successes, and he was kind of bragging about his prowess as a tempter, and he was talking about a man in a British museum who was reading something that was threatening to Screwtape, and he said he saw 20 years' work beginning to totter, but he said I struck instantly the part of the man that I had best under my control, and said, "Isn't it just about time for lunch?" And, of course, that moment got him out of reading the book. And the Screwtape's enemy, God, says to the man, "Isn't this more important than lunch?" And Screwtape responds, much too important to tackle at the end of a morning. Why don't you come back after lunch with a fresh mind?" Got him out the door, gave him a newspaper, got him on a bus. And then Screwtape says, "And the battle was won." Mm. And I got into this, man, all this stuff must just can't be true, and he's now safe in our father's house. And he ends that particular letter by saying, it's interesting how these humans picture us as, it's funny how these humans picture us as putting things into their minds. Our best work is done by keeping things out. And that's when Lewis really grabbed my attention and gave me an idea of spiritual warfare that I just didn't have before that. The reality of an enemy of my soul who was really out to destroy me. And mm-hmm. So after that, Lewis got my undivided attention.
You know, it's funny you would bring that up, because it reminds me of not only how well C.S. Lewis understood spiritual warfare, and, you know, in Screwtape, I mean, he just with piercing accuracy seems to understand the way Satan and demons might think and strategize. But Lewis had an amazing understanding of human nature as well. And I've been reading Lewis and following, you know, all things Lewis for 25 years plus. And really, well, I'll put it this way, and I want your response, Max, if I can call you Max.
Please.
I was speaking about a month ago at a university. I was asked to come to East Tennessee State. And during the Q&A, we're talking about biblical worldview. And some of the students, this one student said, I want to get into C.S. Lewis, but where do I start? Do you have any recommendation? Of course, you know, most college students will be familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia. And one of the students, or about 300 students, said, you know, I hear so much about Lewis. Is he really that big of a deal? And I said to the audience, I said, I know this is going to sound like an overstatement, but it is impossible for me to overemphasize how important C.S. Lewis is as a Christian writer and thinker. And back to your quote from Screwtape, wasn't it just uncanny how well he understood the spiritual realm and how well he understood human nature also?
Yeah. You asked what would be an introductory book other than Narnia. I mean, there's multiple questions asked there, but I don't think you can go wrong with Screwtape Letters because of what you just described. His keen understanding of human nature. In fact, if those of you that know Screwtape, the idea is of an elder tempter instructing a younger tempter on the art of tempting an unsuspecting human on earth. And the unsuspecting human on earth is modeled after C.S. Lewis himself. So he's writing about his own experiences with temptation. Mm-hmm. So it's autobiographical. In many ways, it's a confessional. And Lewis is so transparent that you really get to the heart of things. So I would definitely say that if you don't have another place to start, Screwtape Letters would be a very good place to start. And it's 31 letters. Each letter probably takes 10 minutes to read. It's a great devotional, kind of a reverse devotional, but yeah. It will really make you aware of how temptation really works. You know, we think of it as really, you know, big sins like murder and rape and all kinds of genocide, and that's certainly there. But those things start small, and Screwtape begins with the small things that lead to that really corrupt the soul. So whereas, you know, all of a sudden it becomes so easy to just dismiss what is right and what is true and what is good, so I would suggest Screwtape.
That really is a good place to start. I agree. We're talking with Max McLean, who has brought C.S. Lewis to life in his one-man shows and now in the movie The Most Reluctant Convert. But I want to encourage you, as I've encouraged audiences for many years, read C.S. Lewis. I mean, there's so many things. Okay, The Problem of Pain, which is a great book about the problem of evil and suffering in the world. Of course, A Grief Observed and Screwtape. And probably the one that people think about the most is Mere Christianity. Look, some of it is going to be heavy lifting because Lewis is deep. Some of it is just so light and inspirational, but you will grow intellectually and most importantly, spiritually as well. Now, stay tuned. We're going to come back in just a moment and continue our conversation with Max McLean, who portrays C.S. Lewis.
Fox News and CNN call Alex McFarland a religion and culture expert. Stay tuned for more of his teaching and commentary after this.
Christian author and speaker Alex McFarland is an advocate for Christian apologetics. Teaching in more than 2,200 churches around the world, schools, and college campuses, Alex is driven by a desire to help people grow in relationship with God. He arms his audiences with the tools they need to defend their faith, while also empowering the unchurched to find out the truth for themselves. In the midst of a culture obsessed with relativism, Alex is a sound voice who speaks timeless truths of Christianity in a timely way. With 18 published books to his name, it's no surprise that CNN, Fox, The Wall Street Journal, and other media outlets have described Alex as a religion and culture expert. To learn more about Alex and to book him as a speaker at your next event, visit alexmcfarland.com, or you can contact us directly by emailing booking@alexmcfarland.com.
He's been called trusted, truthful, and timely. Welcome back to the Alex McFarland Show.
C.S. Lewis, one of the most important voices in the last, I would say, 500 years of Christendom since the Reformation. And we're talking with Max MacLean. I want to direct you to a website, cslewismovie.com, cslewismovie.com. And the movie, The Most Reluctant Convert, is the story of C.S. Lewis. And the star, Max MacLean, is with us. I've got to ask you, when did it first dawn on you to portray C.S. Lewis?
About 20 years ago, our mission as a theater and film company is to produce stories from a Christian worldview meant to engage a diverse audience. And we do it through theater and film now. And if you're going to try to reach an audience, and what I mean by diverse, I mean religiously diverse or intellectually diverse, it doesn't take very long to come across C.S. Lewis, because he lived his whole life in a world where Christian faith was attacked and dismissed and certainly not respected. And so he defended it in a brilliant way in Oxford and Cambridge all his adult life after he was converted at the age of 32. The reason he could defend it is because he was, prior to that, a vigorous debunker of Christianity. So he recognized what it was like not to believe and how the materialist worldview, the secular worldview, so engulfs the brain so that you can't really see anything else. And to penetrate beyond that is one of the things that Lewis is particularly good at, both in terms of apologetician and as one of the great literary writers of the 20th century, if not the greatest.
Sure. So where and when did you begin to do kind of a stage?
Yeah, the first stage play we did was about 20 years ago with Screwtape Letters. Then we've done The Great Divorce, but Screwtape was first, and then Great Divorce. And then the third one was Most Reluctant Convert, which was a stage play, which then we turned into a movie.
Sure. Well, let's talk about the movie, because in addition to yourself, I mean, there is some major star power on just the crew I was reading. I mean, the Most Reluctant Convert movie, you've got cinematographers, directors, producers that have worked on, you know, Doctor Who, Bridget Jones, Death on the Nile, The Lion King Broadway. This is a movie, my goodness, there is quite a production staff that came around you to make this happen.
Yeah, this was Norman Stone has won two BAFTAs, a couple of Emmys. He's our director. It was, it was originally a one-person show, which was very successful. We ran on colleges and universities as well as major performing arts centers around the country. But it was a one-person show with one set. But with the movie, we filmed it in Oxford, in and around Oxford, 18 locations in and around Oxford. It's definitely a postcard for Oxford, a tremendous advertisement for people that, are interested in that city and how Lewis sort of embodied that city. And we had 15 actors, 190 extras, 270 costumes. It was a wonderful production, as you say. You know, the crew, I mean, the costume designer was from Downton Abbey. The makeup artist who really made me look like Lewis did the Death of Stalin, which is a terrific movie. So we had a fantastic team, all Brits, and we were able to tell this great story in a very first-rate way.
Do you feel like this film is going to be maybe the crowning achievement of your artistic career?
Well, it's certainly a highlight, but we just signed a deal to do two more films on Lewis. So, you know, we're building the storylines now, which will cover the rest of his life, because this film, The Most Reluctant Convert, begins with his death of his mother when he was 9 years old. Talks about his terrible relation with his father that got worse after his mother died. And then he experienced the butchery of trench warfare in World War I.
Right.
Came to the conclusion that either there's no God, a God indifferent to good and evil, or worse, an evil God, and then follows with the help of friends like J.R. Tolkien, Owen Barfield, and others, how they slowly chipped away over a period of 10, 12 years to have him go from vigorous debunker of Christianity to the most reluctant convert in all England.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the movie, The Most Reluctant Convert, and by the way, folks, the website, which I urge you to look at, is cslewismovie.com, cslewismovie.com. It was in theaters at the end of 21, and now mid-22, Max, so where can people find the movie?
Yeah, it's distributed all over the world now through Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Google Play, YouTube. It's got wide audience. I think it's been seen 130 countries. It was number 4 on Apple TV independent films last month, and number 12 in DVD sales on Amazon. So it's certainly getting a following.
That's great. Now, in the movie, were you able around Oxford or the kilns to use some props that were things actually Lewis would have interacted with?
There's a couple there, but we spent time at the kilns. I think we shot for 2 days at the kilns, and much of what's there is, are replicas, because the originals have gone off to the Wade Center and other, the Bodleian Library, other places that are more, but it looks very much like it. Certainly interacted with physical papers that he used. And one of the great experiences is, you know, his rooms at Magdalen College have been turned into kind of a lab. So, but we were able to get rooms that were close by that were very similar to the rooms that were his in 1930s, 1940s. And that was an experience. We also got into the Magdalen College Library. We filmed a couple of scenes there, which dates back to 1470. Mm-hmm. So it's it was quite an experience. I mean, Addison's Walk, the place where the Holy Spirit really got hold of Lewis, mm-hmm. When he had that famous conversation with J.R.R. Tolkien, mm-hmm. when they were talking about the power of myth and how Jesus is the myth that became fact,
yes.
which was a really instrumental in Lewis's conversion from, Lewis had multiple conversions. He went from atheism to what he called idealism, which is a kind of a pantheism, to theism. Mm-hmm. And theism in Lewis's mind was almost like Moses at the burning bush. You know, God was a consuming fire, and that's whom he repented to.
Yes.
Repented of that, but he didn't understand the significance of Jesus until much later. And that is a very powerful story.
We've got to take a brief break, folks. Stay tuned. We're going to continue talking about C.S. Lewis and his life and ministry and the movie, The Most Reluctant Convert, starring Max MacLean, our guest on this edition of The Alex MacFarlane Show. We're back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Fox News and CNN call Alex MacFarland a religion and culture expert. Stay tuned for more of his teaching and commentary after this.
We live in a country where we have a lot of luxuries. We have a lot of things that we can get pretty easily.
How convenience and comfort can be obstacles. An article by Will Addison.
If we allow those things to be a priority in our lives, we'll find it hard to do the things that really matter, like preaching the gospel. We need to be careful that it don't stop us from fulfilling the Great Commission, which is making disciples.
To read this article, visit afa.net/the stand.
Are you tired of liberal agendas ruining our country, but you don't know what to do about it? That's why Truth and Liberty Coalition was founded. We want to equip you to take back our country and impact the world. Here's how we do it. We educate through broadcasts, conferences, and our website with resources that inform, equip, and motivate. We unify by collaborating with like-minded organizations like the Family Research Council, the Family Policy Alliance, and My Faith Votes. We mobilize by providing practical tools you can use to impact your local community. As Christians, we are called to make disciples of nations. Together, we can change the course of our country for good. Join Truth and Liberty to connect with believers and organizations who not only want to see a change in our nation, but a community that is actually doing something about it. Join us online for our broadcast and subscribe for relevant updates on our website, truthandliberty.net.
He's been called trusted, truthful, and timely. Welcome back to The Alex MacFarlane Show.
Well, Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. We're going to resume our conversation with Max McLean, but I want to remind everybody about our Viral Truth Campus Clubs. Middle schoolers, high schoolers, college students, you can charter a Viral Truth chapter in your city. And by the way, among the things that we equip young people to talk about, apologetics, biblical worldview, and yes, C.S. Lewis, when a Viral Truth Club is chartered, we provide talking points. We coach young people to reach their friends and to talk about issues from a biblical perspective. If you'd like to know more about the Viral Truth Clubs and that rapidly growing movement across America, just go to my own website, which is alexmcfarland.com, alexmcfarland.com. And I want to remind you that our events, publishing, broadcasting, equipping people all throughout North America, it's made possible by your prayers and financial support. And we appreciate your interest and your support for the work that God has called us to do. Well, speaking of a great work that God has done, it's the life of C.S. Lewis, which even though he's been dead nearly 60 years, the impact of his life goes on and on. You know, Max, years ago I was interviewing a guy named Paul McCusker. You may know Paul McCusker.
I do. I've read his book.
Yeah, great book, C.S. Lewis in Wartime, The Crisis That Produced a Classic. And Paul McCusker said, every generation needs to be introduced to C.S. Lewis afresh and anew. And for one thing, I agree with that, and I want to thank you for doing your utmost to see that Lewis is not forgotten. It's hard to think that he even could be, but he is a guy whose legacy is worth keeping alive, isn't it?
Well, it's really interesting because I had an earlier interview with somebody from Europe, and he said that he started reading Lewis in 1964. Lewis died in 63. And I said, and I asked him because, you know, when Lewis died, his funeral was overshadowed because he died the same day within an hour of when Kennedy was assassinated. So everybody sort of thought that Lewis would just kind of disappear like most dead writers. But what tended to happen was his legacy was left alive mostly by key people at Wheaton College and in seminaries. And then next thing you know, within a few years, almost so many pastors around the country were quoting him, you know, pretty regularly in their sermons. And so that sort of got him to grow. And then what's happened is that sort of snowballed. And in the 70s and in the 80s, then lots and lots of books started to be written. A lot of biographies started to be written about him. And so where he is now is he'll sell more books this year than he sold last year. And next year, he'll sell more books next year than he did this year. His embers are blazing. His influence continues to grow. Now, but that has to be kept going. You know, I do a lot of colleges and universities myself, as you do. And what's interesting is that I've never heard of C.S. Lewis. I mean, if you're part of the homeschool movement, that probably wouldn't happen. But if you're raised in public schools and just have a sort of this closed in world of secularism, which Lewis described as living your life with all the windows closed. In that case, we do have to get it known. And then what happens is when they do experience what he knows, because he recognizes that the mind is the window to the supernatural world, that you can't make sense of anything unless what you say, what you think has meaning, is comports to something in reality. It's not socially constructed. That there's something rock bottom reality has to be intelligent. There is got to be something further up, further in.
Yeah.
And that's Lewis just drills that down. And that makes perfect sense to 99.9% of people.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And you know what's so amazing, and this is why I tell my students, you know, read Lewis. I mean, you've got, of course, the Chronicles of Narnia, which are very, very famous. People of all ages love those. But then you've got a book like A Grief Observed that is an incredibly personal testimony of how he processed the passing of his wife, Joy Davidman. And then you've got a book like The Abolition of Man that was so prescient and predicted that if we lost belief in morality, we would descend into chaos, and ultimately even gender would be confused and denied. And I know this is an overused word, but isn't it fair to say Lewis was absolutely prophetic in what the West would become if we lost our theistic Christian foundations?
Yes, and because he experienced it at Oxford in the 30s and 40s, which was kind of the vanguard, Oxford and Cambridge, 30s and 40s, the vanguard of this level of thought, particularly what you mentioned, abolition of man, with the rise of subjectivism, yeah. That there's no absolute truth, therefore there's no moral truth. You know, everything is subjective, everything is socially constructed. And with that in mind, you can basically do whatever you want. It's, you know, as Dostoevsky says, if God is dead, then everything is permissible. You know, and so if you want to deny your gender, deny the reality of what's on your body, then you can do that. And what's shocking to me is how that thinking has permeated all the way to the highest levels of intellectual thought in academia and in government. And surprisingly, corporate America, business America, who's really not paying attention, is just allowing this to happen in their HR departments.
Sure.
So, I mean, this is not what we're talking about, I know, but this is the byproduct. You know, ideas have consequences. You know, they change reality. What you and I wish to happen is the first step to making it happen. Mm. You know, there's tremendous power in our desires and our abilities for good or evil. And it starts with right thinking.
Well, sadly, we're out of time for this visit, but I want to encourage people, one of the best ways to get into C.S. Lewis, a great introduction, is this movie, The Most Reluctant Convert. I've got to ask you this, as we encourage people to watch the movie, what is your prayer? Max McLean, you have a ministry representing one of the most powerful Christian thinkers of the 20th century, who, as you said, his influence is probably greater than it ever was in his own lifetime. What is your prayer for the church in the West and the world?
That's a really good thought. Several thoughts come to mind. The first thing that went into my mind as soon as you said that is that wonderful verse in Hebrews 13, here we have no continuing city, we await the one to come. It's really... Church needs to reflect that. Remember how churches used to have graveyards?
Yeah.
I think we should go back to having graveyards on our church, because it's a reminder of what reality is like. You know, the world is filled with, you know, that's where we end up. And if your mindset is secular, that's where we end up. The other thing is a famous Lewis line, if I have an experience that no other experience in this world can satisfy.
Yes.
The most probable explanation I was made for another world. So, you know, Lewis says that he mentions the people that are most productive in this life are those people who are really have their attention further up, further in.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you for your time today. I want to thank everybody for listening. And again, the website, cslewismovie.com. See this movie, The Most Reluctant Convert. It will impact you deeply. And then let me encourage you, and Max, I know you would concur, read Lewis. You don't even have to pray about it. Read the books of C.S. Lewis. Thank you. I look forward to when you and I may visit again soon.
Look forward to it, Alex. Thank you.
May God bless you, and thank you for listening to this edition of The Alex McFarland Show.
Alex McFarland Ministries are made possible through the prayers and financial support of partners like you. For over 20 years, this ministry has been bringing individuals into a personal relationship with Christ and has been equipping people to stand strong for truth. Learn more and donate securely online at alexmcfarland.com. You may also reach us at Alex McFarland, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404, or by calling 1-877-YES-GOD and the number 1. That's 1-877-YESGOD-1. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again on the next edition of The Alex McFarland Show.